First, I want to just speak very briefly about throw out an idea about we have Mirat Hashem Friday is Tu B'Av. Shabbos?
Thursday.
Friday.
Sunday was his
birthday. So let me just throw out a simple idea, a little drush. I'm going to speak about it in more length in Mirat Hashem tomorrow. But right now I want to throw out an idea. I find this idea to be very intriguing. We mentioned this idea in other contexts in the past. What happened on Tu B'Av? There were many things. I think there were five things that happened on Tu B'Av. They stopped cutting wood for the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because only until this point in time was it beneficial to use the wood for the Mizbeach, because the wood has to be perfectly dry. If the wood has any moisture, it produces smoke. And wood that produces smoke is not fit for the Mizbeach. Until Tu B'Av, the sun is in its tokfa, is in its strength, it's in its zenith, and it dries out the wood thoroughly from moisture. Once we hit Tu B'Av, the sun no longer has that same strength, and the wood has a small degree of moisture. So the wood would not be ideal for the Mizbeach, because it would produce smoke, so they stop cutting wood. What was the advantage of not cutting wood for the base, for not having to go out and cut wood for the Mizbeach? They had more time on their hands. What did they do with their time on their hands? They surfed the web, right? Not exactly. When they had more time on their hands, they spent that time learning Torah. So it was a very big simcha, it's called Yom Tavar Magal. What else did they do? What else happened on that day? On that day was when, really, this was about maybe the biggest simcha was when the Meisei Midbar knew for sure that Hashem had forgiven them. Because until Tu B'Av, they were afraid that every single year 15,000 people of Klal Yisrael died on Tesh B'Av. They dug their own graves, they lied down, they did not wake up. 15,000 members did not wake up. The last 15,000 people in the last year in the Midbar dug their graves and lied down. And when it came Tisha B'Av in the morning, guess what? They all woke up. They were shocked. How could we all woke up? We're all supposed to die. So they thought they made a mistake in the calendar. It was not really Tesh B'Av. And they went back and they lied down for another day. And what happened? They woke up again. And then on the 15th day, when they saw there was a full moon, they knew for sure it can no longer, they've passed through the ninth day and they're still alive. And that means Hashem has forgiven them. And that was a cause of great simcha for Klal Yisrael. And that's why this day has become a day of celebration for Klal Yisrael.
It means that every year they were digging 600,000 tons?
Yes, every year they dug six. The first year there was 600,000, and every year was less.
15,000.
Okay, Rabbis, please. Okay, now, what else happened on that day? Rabbis, what else happened on that day? On that day, Shevet Binyamin. Okay, Rabbi said, please, only a few minutes. Can I please have some decorum, please? Okay, Rabbi said, please. What else happened on that day? Shevet Binyamin was permitted. They made a takon. They're allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. The Mayas of Pelegash Begiva. There was a civil war in Klal Yisrael. In Shevet Binyamin, the people, there was a woman who was raped. And when word got out in the rest of Klal Yisrael what happened to this Pelegash, that the people of Binyamin, the Shevet Binyamin, they went and they abused her, and they were nichshol in doing an avera with her in such a public, disgusting way. So everyone in Klal Yisrael decided to go to war against Shevet Binyamin. It was so sick. We learned about this is that the people of Klal Yisrael who was coming to go to war against Binyamin were no bigger tzaddikim than Shevet Binyamin. The only difference was Shevet Binyamin got caught, and they did not. Okay, so that's what it says. That's what we learned that. That's what it says. The only difference is exactly. Don't care. That was what Prince Williams said about on the legacy of his mother. What a charpa. What did his mother tell him? Was it Williams or Harry? I think it was William. Said that his mother told him, "You can be as naughty as you want, just don't get caught."
Diana.
That's her legacy. Okay, that was a legacy to her children. You can be as naughty as you want, don't get caught. What to learn from that? Okay, Rabbeisai, please, please, Rabbeisai, Rabbeisai, please. Okay, so unfortunately, this what is there? Chacham haloi made me kol adam. Is what to learn from that, because Sheva ben Yamin, Rachman Lutzan, Sheva ben Yamin were caught, and the Klal Yisrael went to war, and that war resulted in the death of 20,000 members of over 25,000 members of Sheva ben Yamin. But you know how many people died from the other Shvatim? Over 45,000 people from the other Shvatim. How did it? But if the Muhammad was l'shem Shemayim to put Sheva ben Yamin in place to say to them, we don't tolerate this nonsense and Klal Yisrael do such averos, so it should not have happened that someone, Rabbi said, please, should not have happened that someone, that 45,000 people should have died from the other Shvatim. Why then did Hashem bring about that double the number of people died from the other Shvatim who went to war against Binyamin than Sheva Binyamin themselves? And the answer Chazal says is because the people of the other Shvatim were no less guilty in the same Avera than Sheva Binyamin. It's just that they didn't get caught. And just because you didn't get caught doesn't mean you're not guilty. And therefore it was a terrible, terrible tragedy that 45,000 people, you know what that means? Klal Yisrael died in this war, in the civil war from the side of the of the
Did
of
they
the
first?
I don't know. I don't know. It's the whole story is very bizarre. It's very hard to digest the story, like many stories in Tanakh, but this is what it says. Is what to learn from this story, and it was a horrible situation. And in the end, was there only 400 men left in Sheva Binyamin when the war was over? They were not 400 women in Sheva Binyamin. So these 400 men did not have who to marry, and they were on the verge of extinction because there would not be enough. There were no one to marry, and they would not get married, and then they would just fizzle out. So they made a takana that Sheva Binyamin is allowed to marry women from the other Shevatim. Until this point in time, there was a takana from Moshe Rabbeinu that I forgot the exact words of the pasuk. In order that the Nachal of Eretz Yisrael should get a good start, it should be each family, each Shevet. Lo sisoiv nachla mi mate el mate acher. The Nachla should not go from one mate to from one Shevet to another Shevet. Everyone, the integrity of the chaluk of Eretz Yisrael should be established, maintained. For a few generations, the Shvatim were not allowed to intermarry one another. So that the Nachla, the integrity of the chaluk of Eretz Yisrael that belonged to each Shevet should be maintained. But after Klal Yisrael multiplied, and then it was established, the Nachla, so what's not so terrible if you have a little teeny house. You have a whole city in one house owned by another Shevet. No big deal. So this was the moment in time, was a very important point in time, very big thing for Klal Yisrael of Achdus. It's an incredible Achdus where now they lifted the bin. It wasn't just for Sheva Binyamin. By lifting for Sheva Binyamin, they lifted the ganz Klal Yisrael. Intermarriage amongst us. It's not a nice word to say, but amongst us, amongst the Shvatim, inter-Shvatim marriage. Inter-Shvatim marriage became permitted, and that was all, the need was all started with Sheva Binyamin. And what's the last thing that happened, the most important thing that happened? Shidduchim. On this day, the girls would go out into the vineyards and would borrow white dresses, one from another, so no one should know who's wealthy, who's poor, and they would dance in circles. They would go up in mechaylos. Rabbi said, please, 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 Rabbi said, please. They would go out, please, 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 not. Please. And they would go away, they would dance in circles, and the boys would come out and look and watch and select for themselves brides. And the girls would say to the boys, each girl would promote herself, marketing 101. A girl that was beautiful would say to the boys, "Ein isha ella liyofi." A girl who had good yichus would say, "Ein isha ella labanin." And a girl that had help me out, and a girl that had money, she would say, "Ein isha ella
money." Got it.
What did it say? Whatever it says. Okay, so the girls would market themselves. Okay, would market themselves. What? Who says there's no shidduch problem? Okay, there was some shy boys. Who was the one? Who was a shy boy? Shaul HaMelech. Shaul came out into the vineyard to go look. His parents said, "You better get married. I'm throwing you out of the house." So they sent Shaul, who became the king. They sent him out to go find the girl, and he was so shy. He wouldn't want to look at the girls. But there was a girl who saw him, and she came out to get him. She came and chased after him. and he married her. Okay, so everyone found their sheikh there one way or another. This was the simcha. This was the simcha of Tubov. Hear that? Okay. Now, question. Now, then Chazal go on and say something more. Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael ki tu be'av the yom hakipurim. The pasuk, the Chazal equate Yom Kippur and Tubov Shebohem on these days. B'noyis Yisrael yoytzais, they would go out. The kalim shulin, they would borrow white clothing and they would dance. V'chulu v'chulu. When Chazal tells us about this element of Tu B'Av, it was not unique to Tu B'Av. It also happened on Yom HaKippurim. The other four things that we mentioned were not unique to Tu B'Av. They were totally unique to Tu B'Av. The Neis Seinidbar stopped dying on Tu B'Av. They stopped cutting wood on Tu B'Av. The heter to marry amongst each other would happen on Tu B'Av. What was the other thing I mentioned? I forgot the other thing. What?
No, you had
the what? I forgot to say that. Harugei Beita, we didn't look vura. The people, the Beita, their bodies were exposed for 7 years. Harugei Beita happened 52 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and they were killed. Their bodies were piled as walls. It was a horror what was done to the dead bodies, and miraculously the bodies did not decay. And on this day, the government, I guess the Romans, gave permission for the bodies to be buried, and miraculously they did not decay. It was a very big simple Klal Yisrael. They were masaking the bracha atoyv ha-native, when you drink a second cup of wine, that's better, or the bracha in Brachas HaMazon, and that was established on Tu B'Av. So those events that we mentioned were unique to Tu B'Av. There was no other day in the year that has any connection to that, those events. But when it comes to Shidduchim, there's a team. There is Tu B'Av and there is Yom HaKippur. What is this all about? So here is the following idea. The Chazal tell us, and we said this before, this is not new, we just said this a few times over the years. Chazal tell us that Hashem's original plan for Klal Yisrael was that there should be a festival in every single month, starting from Nisan until Tishrei, until Cheshvan. All of these months, not the whole year, but at least the first, this section of the year, this part of the year, there should be festivals every single month. And because Klal Yisrael was nichshol in the chet ha'egel, so everything got messed up. And the things Baruch Hashem, we did tshuva, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalul for us, and we did tshuva to a degree, and therefore everything, when all the dust settled, everything was okay. Now let us explain, and you'll see now the significance of Tu B'Av. What was the original divine plan, and how did it come out that when everything settled, we caught up to where we're supposed to be? What's the first festival? Pesach. When does that happen? On the 15th day of Nisan. That's nothing changed. What's the next festival? After Pesach, we count Sfira. When is Shavuos? Shavuos is. What's the next festival after Pesach Sheni? We go from Nisan to Iyar. The 15th day of Iyar is the 40th day of Iyar. The 40th year is Pesach Sheni. Okay, that's a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov for the Tameim and the Rechoikim. It's not a Yom Tov for the Tehoidim and the Kroivim, but it's a Yom Tov for the Tameim and the Rechoikim. Nevertheless, it's still called a Yom Tov. We discussed that once, right? Now, we have, that's Chodesh. What's the next month? The next month in the year is Chodesh Sivan. What happened Chodesh Sivan? Matan Torah. 50 days after Pesach, we count Sfira. So far, we're good. Now, what comes next? Now, after these Tammuz. Now, what was supposed to be in Tammuz? Tammuz was supposed to be a Yom Tov, but Moshe Rabbeinu, he went to Shemayim, so there was a delay. But what was originally supposed to be? Chodesh Tammuz was supposed to be the next festival, which is Rosh Hashanah. What comes after Pesach, after Shavuos? Rosh Hashanah. So what is Rosh Hashanah? On the first day of the month was supposed to be Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Can you imagine? Rosh Hashanah would have been back, Shavuos of Tammuz, go back 17 days. Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, it says in the Midrash, was meant to be Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Hadin. The Yom Hadin was meant to be. What? No, that's what we make out of it now. But that was not Yom Hadin. Was supposed to be on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. After we have received the Torah, we now have din. We're now responsible on the first day of Tammuz. Now, when would be Yom Kippur? So when would be Yom Kippur? Here's Yom Kippur would not be on the, you think be the, you think would be on the 10th day of Tammuz. No, it would be 40 days later. Why? Because the amount of time we need to do teshuva is 40 days. How do we know it's 40 days? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Mispalel for Klal Yisrael, he spent 40 days in Shemayim praying for us. How many days are there do we do teshuva in preparation for Yom Kippur? 40 days. From Elul until Rosh Hashanah is 30 days, plus the Aseres he made teshuva. Okay, there are more details to prove this idea, which I don't remember, but the ideal amount of time that is necessary to do teshuvah is 40 days. So if Rosh Hashanah was meant to be on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, that means that you need 40 days to do teshuvah. The Yom Kippur would be on the 10th day of Av. Isn't that amazing? On the 10th day of Av, and because we messed up, so instead of the 10th day of Av being the day of Yom Slicha, since instead of it being Yom Slicha Umechila, a day of forgiveness for us, it turned out to be the most tragic day of the year for us because we blew it. But the truth is, it wasn't Yom Slicha Umechila, it was done by design, because Hashem said, if I did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash, I would have finished you off. It was a dilemma, the whole day, who should be destroyed? Should Klal Yisrael be destroyed and the Beis HaMikdash would remain? Or should the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed and we would remain? So Hashem forgave us on the 10th day of Av, because the Beis HaMikdash primarily burned. Okay, what I say? The Beis HaMikdash burned primarily when? It burned primarily on the 10th day of Av. That's the day of when we received kapara. It was the mechilas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He forgave us through the pain, the yisurim of taking away the Beis HaMikdash. We commemorate and we reserve Tisha B'Av on when it began to burn. But it also explains to us very clearly why in the Torah when it comes to Yom Kippur, when do we fast? We fast on the 10th day. How does the Torah describe the fast of Tisha B'Av? V'inisem es nafsho seichem b'tisha l'chodesh bo'erev. On the 9th day in the evening. What? V'inisem es nafsho seichem b'asoro l'chodesh. On the 10th day of the month. What is this? You shall fast on the 9th day at night. It sounds like a secular type of counting, right? The 9th day, by Klal Yisrael, the night is already the next day. So what a chazal darshan? Kol oichel b'tishri ki'ilu hisane b'tishri. Absolutely, okay, it's a chazal, it's a drasha. I am panim l'Torah. The reason why the Torah describes Yom HaKippurim as the 9th day and then the evening is because it's a chaval. That's not when it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be Yom HaKippurim was meant to be not in Chodesh Tishrei. It was meant to be observed. It was meant to be observed in Chodesh Av. And in Chodesh Av, what happened on the 9th day? That's indeed when the Beis HaMikdash was. It was destroyed on the 9th day. On the 9th day in the evening, when the Meraglim came back from Eretz Yisrael, they gave over the slender report. It was the 9th day in the evening. So, being that Yom Kippur really corresponds to Tisha B'Av, which is all relates to the 9th day, when the Meraglim came back on the evening of the 9th, the Torah expressed Yom HaKippurim with the terminology that fits like a glove for Tisha B'Av. Because that was the original plan. We blew it. So we blew everything. Everything got pushed off. Okay, so we have Rosh Hashanah on the first day. We have Rosh Hashanah on the first day of Tammuz. Yom HaKippurim is on the 10th day of Av, after 40 days of Tshuva. Now what do you do next? What's the next holiday? Sukkot. So when is Sukkot? Sukkot is going to be on on the 15th day of, it was meant, Ulkachtem Lochem Bayoim Harishain. What's Yoim Harishain? Rish Chazal Darshan. What do you mean? It's the 15th day. It's the 15th day. It's not Yoim Harishain. The Sukkot takes place on the 15th day of Tishrei. Why does the pasuk call Yoim Harishain? Drasha. Rishain Lechesh Ben Avonais. That's not what it was meant to be. It was meant to be Elul. Sukkot is supposed to be Rosh Chodesh Elul. Ulekach, what? Ulekachtem lechem Sukkot. Sukkot is, what is Sukkot? Right, it says in the Torah, so the question, why then does the Torah contradict itself? It says, Ulekachtem lechem Sukkot is on the day 15 of the month. If Sukkot is supposed to be, as the Torah clearly says, the fifth day of the month, why then, Rabbi Isaac, please. Why then does it say, Ulekachtem lechem b'yom harishon? Why is it misleading us? It's because the Torah is hinting to us the original plan. The original Medrash says it was meant to be a chag in every single chodesh. Sukkot was meant to be the first day of Elul.
Really? But it's the middle of the summer.
Exactly.
It's only 100 degrees out there.
That's why you need a sukkah in the middle of the summer. Because it's so hot. Hashem's going to take out. Why do you have a sukkah? Why do you have a sukkah in Tishrei? It's cold. You don't need a sukkah in Tishrei. It's freezing cold in Tishrei. It's, no, it used to be at least. I don't know what happened to global warming messed everything up. But it used to be cold in Tishrei. You see, freezing winters. You need to go to the sukkah in Tishrei. When you need the sukkah is the end of the summer. Chazal said the end of the summer is worse than the beginning of the summer. So you need the sukkah. That's why you have a sukkah at the time when you need the sukkah. And as a Chazal, we work backwards, because since we have Sukkot now in Tishrei, so we say, in order to show it's L'Shem Mitzvah, so we have it in Tishrei. We shouldn't be L'Shem to show that it's because we need it for practice. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants to go glatt. When do you need a Sukkah? You need a Sukkah in the end of the summer. So if you're going into the Sukkah, it should be a Sukkah L'Shem Mitzvah. And then you take Ulekach, but we have a pre-Eitz Hadar Kapos Tamar and the Anav Ezavos. Usmachem Rosh Chodesh Elul was meant to be Sukkot. Now, what do you do when Sukkot, the seventh day of Sukkot? Okay, this proves the point. What do you do when Sukkot comes to and when the seventh day seven of Sukkot? When Shmini Atzeres, you just go from day seven to day eight. What kind of nonsense is that? You have to have Sfira Soimia. You have to have 50 days, just like between Pesach and Shavuos, there's 50 days. You have to be Meichin 50 days. You have to be Meichin 50 days from the beginning of Sukkot until Shmini Atzeres. So when does that come out? That comes out on the 21st day of Tishrei, which also happens to be the day when we anyway observe Shmini Atzeres. So all, what's the expression? Everything ends well. All's well that ends well, right? We ended up catching up. We got messed up in the middle. We combined, we compressed. Because we were choyte in the middle, Hashem did for us the express route. We have Rosh Hashanah on the first day of Elul. Instead of having 40 days, it had to be compressed into 10 days to do tshuva. And instead of having until the beginning of the next month, the next festival, Hashem only gave us 5 days break in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And there's no sira. We lost the 50 days that we really should have between the end of the seventh day of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. We're supposed to have 50 days. Just like there's 50 days between Pesach and Shavuos, you have to be meichin for the Atzeres. 50 days, you have to be meichin for the atzeres of Sukkot. You have to have 50 days. When would Shmini Atzeres, if Sukkot is meant to start on the first day of Chodesh Elul, and we have 50 days of Svira, when then is Shmini Atzeres, the 21st day of Tishrei, which happens anyway to be the exact date when we observe Shmini Atzeres? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we just made it by the skin of our teeth. We got back on track at the very end of the last festival. We have arrived at the last festival, even though we have condensed all of these festivals. It's a little bizarre when you come into Tishrei. It's a little quick, a little tight, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. It wasn't meant to be like this. This is not an accordion. We're pushed. We were meant to spread it out.
Well, where's the
15th
of Av come into comparable?
Oh, wait, we're getting there. Very good. We're getting there now. So it comes out now. This was what's meant to be. According to that calculation, let's work backwards. Rabbi Issa, please, there's too much disturbance, please. According to this calculation, what do we do learn about? What do we do? We do learn that b'shas hadchak, when we are in trouble, you can have sukkis 5 days after Yom Kippur. Isn't that what we learn? Because that's what we do. That's what we're doing for generations. Yes, we are. Have your cake and eat it too. You could have your cake and eat it too. Absolutely. What do we see from this? We see that b'shas hadchak, you can have a sukkis right after Yom Kippur. 5 days. So that means, what is, it's not funny, it's not a joke, this is serious. What is Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av really corresponds to the real Yom Kippur. Now we're getting very close now. Lo hayu yomim tovim li Yisrael ki yom HaKippurim in Tu B'Av shebohen b'noyis Yisrael yoytzais. So first of all, it alludes to, okay, there are different mahalchim in this. It wasn't a 2 day holiday. What was meant to be, it was a 5 day celebration. In between these 5 days, there is the real Yom HaKippurim. What's the real Yom HaKippurim? The real Yom HaKippurim is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the real Yom HaKippurim. It's really the 10th day of Av. That's the real Yom HaKippurim. That's what was meant to be the real Yom HaKippurim, and to a degree it is still Yom HaKippurim, because Chazal say, Hashem forgave us by taking away the Beis HaMikdash. The only reason why he allowed us to survive was he poured out his anger upon wood and stone, and that's what allowed us to survive. Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Av, was meant to be the real Yom HaKippurim, and it is a Yom HaKippurim. Tu B'Av is 5 days later. Tu B'Av was really meant to be. I'm not even going backwards now. So it's not the Pshat and the Gemara that there were 2 days a year. It's this, it was a 5 day process of finding a Shidduch. It didn't just happen over 1 day. You got 1 day and the Shidduch, you found your Shidduch. It was a 5 day process to find the Shidduch.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me just explain you more. On the other hand, it's taken as follows: is that after after Tisha B'Av, what's 5 days later? It was 5 days later. You can say that Tu B'Av corresponds to Sukkot. What do you get out of that? What is a sukkah? Sukkah is a dira. It's the tzila din hemnusa, Chazal say. It is the tent of the Shechina. A chosn and kala is not just stan, or you live together in a house. When Yitzhak took Rivka into his home, what happened? The Shechina was shayra, it says. It says that the chal v'ner was doylek mishabis el shabis. There was telltale signs, this is the Mamari Chazal, that when Yitzhak took Rivka into his home, the Shechina was resting in his home. It was an abode, it was a mikdash ma'at. What is a sukkah? Sukkah in Chazal terminology is called the shade of faith. The tzila din hemnusa. So why is Tu B'Av the day for Shidduchim? To remind the person, this day, B'shas Hatchak, well, it correlates to a degree to Sukkot. It corresponds to, because since we do know that Sukkot, we halacha l'maaseh, we connect Sukkot happens 5 days after Yom Kippur, and Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Av, really is the Yom Kippur. So Chazal politely reminding us, this really is Yom Kippur. It's really Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av. And if Tisha B'av is Yom Kippur, 5 days later is Sukkot. And what happens on Sukkot? Ulekachtem lechem b'yom harishayin. Mochalas. When a person gets married, it's nechilas avoynais. Rishayin lecheshben avoynais. Sukkot is the tzila dim hemnusa. What is a chshidach? It's an esra. Everyone says that. A pri eitz hoda, right? People, they go like this, right? A pre-eitz hoda. What? A lulav is the tool of the wife. She beats you over the head with it. Shuckle. Shuckle. They shuckle you. Once you get married, they shuckle you. Your wife gives a shuckle. And the rest of the drush I leave for you. Okay.
Amen.
And yeah, so you get marked. You can say, so you get marked. You all be 10 struck in the cup, and you're in the middle of the day.
Put on the table.
I never heard such a thing. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
He has to come in tomorrow looking like you, Mark.
I have to get a baldy. Pick another one. Yeah, pick another one. That's not bad. Maybe I'll do a Nazir Shimshon. You do it?
I want your promise to read this. Very, very good.
You think it'll penetrate my head?
If you read it, it might. My wife wants to hear. This is Yamat Smoot, you know, they march every day. Not this part. This part here. This part here. Rabbi Doctor Natoli Hoff. Excellent.
Mayor, we have to get our food?
Yeah, what number you got? 70?
Wait.
12, 20. Okay, have a good
one.
I'll go for you. Have a good day.
Actually, I'll see you all. See you all. See you all. I guess the other success that we right have now, just reads on jealousy and anger.
If I understood her correctly, I have to say, if I understood, she's ready to go.
Okay. If you're going to come back to it's very common. The person at this time is busy, the person is going somewhere else, or the person is in a major transition state in his life. Or maybe they want to go out, or maybe we'll go out at a certain point. I know for myself, I want to know what to do. The person that I've noticed is the Esther girl said, no, you don't want to go out with me. It's very, very hurtful and insulting. It means I reject you.
So I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. So what are you telling me? You're telling me?
Maybe I will go out with her. At this moment,
so I'm not even going to answer. No one's calling me. I'm not going to. I'm going to remain silent.
Okay.
Don't think it's nice.
I
don't want to open up a whole world window.
I know what you're talking about. Not now. I don't want to go now. I don't trust anyone. I'm going to go now. I don't let the shots hurt anything more.
But that's what I was going to say to you.
Give me the number.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to suggest you both call each other.
Of course.
You still have a number?
No, I never had a number.
I have a number.
I would say yes. What would happen?
If you would tell me to say that, I wouldn't say
it. And then,
fine. But only one, I have one proviso. That you call. And not 10 months later.
No, of course.
You got to call.
If I tell you, I would call, I would call immediately.
Okay. So why are we doing that?
And then if I don't want, I'll call her. I don't want.
Because you have easy ads right now. You can call her and say, listen, one is real. I'm jury duty. I just wanted to have a conversation. We'll both think about it if we want to go out.
It doesn't work. However, it doesn't work. If you go out, you go.
But you're not yeshivish. This is not yeshivish world. These are two people, mature people.
I know. I'd rather. It's no games. I have a conversation and this and just drop it out. Are you serious about getting married? That's what the question is. I'm not playing games with these girls.
Right. I'm sure they don't want to.
They don't want to play games either. I'm sure. So I'm not going to go have a conversation.
Right. So what do you do? So where do we stand at this moment?
Right now, I'm not committed
to
anything. Unfortunately. So, but I, on the other hand, I'm not looking to insult her.
I don't know what's telling me. I'm going downstairs. You gave me no answer. You didn't give me an answer. You're not doing anything. That's your answer.
Be very, one thing. Those girls,
if she would call me today, what should I tell her?
She's not going to call me. So don't
hear
any questions.
I want to ask you. If you could tell us that, Midrash. Well, what do you want me to do?
She's not going
to
call you.
And if she would, what should I do?
If she would, just say, he didn't give an answer. Just say he didn't give an answer.
Fine.
Isn't he going to say? He said no.
I just want to know how to answer that because I see, let's say,
he listened seriously to it. He listened.
He'll do his own thing. Whatever
he says, he sees you busy now. He's going to
show you. Because nothing happened before. Remember, was
no, I don't think it will be that. Not comfortable. She was not violent.
He told you of the time that he commanded you to observe the 10 decorations and inscribe them on 2 stone tablets.
Okay.
But Oisi Ziv Hashem and me Hashem commanded Beiti in that time Lamis and teach you Hulten Mishpatim. La, I mean, this referring to a set of the difference, right? La, so he's going to do them, Oisam, by Eret Hashiratim, or Abram Shama. We're going to get them to the Mishnah to inherit. Okay? But be Oisi Ziv Hashem, Beiti, Lamis Hashem, and Hashem commanded me to teach you Turkish about that. This of the Bible.
Nishmatem me'ol v'nashotechem ilo ha'itin kol t'munah v'yom d'be'a no'ay lechem v'chorav v'tok eish. But you should take great care for your soul, so you did not see any likeness on the day Hashem spoke to you at heart from the midst of the fire.
A pentash season, because maybe you will be corrupt, right? Just wait there. Let's react roughly. Basisim lo ten pesel. We make an avodzara tmunas kolsemel, a picture of all the kolsemel, a carved image. Tavnis zochar nekeva, a likeness. Tavnis kolsemel, a likeness of any shape. Tavnis zochar nekeva. Very interesting why I said these words. Semel silver means a shape, a shape of a male or female.
Tavnit kol behema asher ha'ar, tavnit kol tzipor, and al pasher tzipuf b'shemayim. The form of any animal is on the earth, the form of any wind bird that flies in the heavens. This is the thing opening here, the sculpture.